Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Source Material. Quick little episode here. I think this is episode 131, I believe. I hope I got that right. And this evening, we are bringing to you, I got a little crazy. I think it was Friday. I was just like, you know what? I know me and Ronnie, when we don't have a show planned, I can usually count on Ronnie Adams to help me out if we do like a single issue. Speaking of Ronnie Adams, how you doing this evening?
Hello. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. This fine Sunday evening. Thanks again for joining me. As per usual, I give you no notice and you're like, heck yeah.
Well, you act like I have a life. I say that. And people are like, oh, he's just kidding. No. Sitting here, my dog's asleep on the couch.
Just waiting to do a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Waiting for some kind of human contact.
Somebody talk to me, please.
Let's talk.
Well, Friday, I think it was Friday. I was like, look, we've got to come up with an episode. What better way to do it than to reach out to our Source Material faithful who follow the Facebook page? And I just put a little blurb out there that said, hey, first person to comment their favorite single issue of all time. Now, I prefaced it. I kind of put a little caveat in there with like, hey, it'd be preferably if it was standalone, because if you're giving me, you know, issue 4 in a 5-issue story arc, I'd let it slide so long as it's really good, but I'd love for it to be a standalone issue.
Right.
And so I said, first person to comment, and none other than Dean Compton, the man who's been on here a couple times. He's discussed previously with myself, he's discussed Marvel versus DC, and we've also had him on here for, we were talking like some of the greatest characters that came out of the 1990s, if I remember right. That was one of our first episodes that we had the chance to do together. He's over there. He's part of the Unspoken Decade on Facebook and the webpage there. If you get a chance, go check that out. But anyway, Dean says, hey, how about issue 17 of Spider-Man? So immediately I was like, is he talking about Amazing Spider-Man or is he talking about Adjectiveless Spider-Man? I thought he was going, I honestly thought he was going way back in the Wayback Machine and grabbing like Amazing Spider-Man 17. And I wouldn't be able to tell you hiding her hair of what happened in that issue, but I thought, well, that seems like a classic, but no. I know Mr. 1990s, Dean Compton. He's not going. He went with the adjectiveless Spider-Man. That's right. We're talking Spider-Man, the series that came out in 1990. This issue actually came out in December. If you open up the first page, it's December of 1991. So this is right after, just to give everybody kind of an idea of where this is at and in the history of Spider-Man and the creative teams and stuff. When Spider-Man first launched, there was the adjectiveless, the 1990 Spider-Man. There was a hot artist on the scene at the time, and he was Todd McFarlane. And people absolutely adored his art. He was known for his run on Amazing Spider-Man, some great renditions of Venom. That's what I kind of know him for. And other story arcs that he did on Amazing. So they said, well, we got to give Todd his own title. So they gave him Spider-Man. And so that started out Spider-Man number one. And if you remember, I mean, that sold a ton of copies. Ugh. Ton of copies.
That's ridiculous.
It was. And then time went by, and this is a time in comic book history that I've lauded about on this show many a time, and that was the creation of Image Comics, where a lot of talented artists and creators came together to create their own comic book company to potentially go up against the big two, Marvel and DC. Now, this is December of 1991. This is very early prior to, because I believe it's next year, that following year in 92. Yeah, I know it is, because right now we're in the midst of celebrating the 25th year anniversary of Image Comics. So 92 is when Image gets formed. This issue right here is the first issue that happens after Todd McFarlane leaves Marvel Comics. He says, I'm done. You guys are jerking my chain. I just want to let you know. I believe he goes, if I remember right, and I'm going to have to look this up. I need to refresh my memory, but I think he like retires and people are like, what? You're retiring? So he just is off the book. He put in 16 issues and here we are at issue 17. So Dean Compton picked this issue out. And I could tell you right now, Ronnie, when I saw this cover, I don't think I've ever seen this comic book. I don't think I've ever seen the cover of it. I do not remember ever seeing Spider-Man go up against Thanos in his own book. Now,
right, yeah.
How about you, Ronnie? I mean, is this something that you'd read before? Or?
No. This is completely new to me. I was really shocked by it when I saw the cover. But as par for the course with these books, though, I figured there wouldn't be much Thanos versus Spidey action.
Would you say that Spider-Man might be a little outmatched going against Thanos here? This is easily after the Infinity Gauntlet saga, I think, right? It is, because I think Infinity Gauntlet, yeah. I mean, we're looking at the cover here, and I'm going to do my best to describe to our listeners what the cover looks like. I mean, at the top, we have at the hands of Thanos, the death of Spider-Man. You will believe a man can die. And here we have, go ahead.
I didn't have much problem believing that before.
You will believe. I see it sounds like a quote, and I almost looked it up, but I decided not to. It sounds like something like either a circus goer or a magician would say. You will believe a man can die. But anyway, so Ronnie, do you remember what the cover looked like here? I've got it in front of our list, or in anybody who's watching. But what do you think of this cover?
It's very dramatic. It's very shocking. And it just gives you the history of, you know, who Thanos really is.
Mm-hmm. He's got his, what I assume is the Infinity Gauntlet. That's the gauntlet. It has all the gems on it. And he's...
That is definitely the gauntlet. How far after the Infinity...
Let's look it up. I ain't scared to do it. Let's do it.
Didn't the Infinity War, or whatever you want to call it, the Infinity Gauntlet series, it wasn't it like...
I want to say... Yeah, I want to say Infinity War was 90... to 91, maybe 92. Let's look up Infinity Gauntlet first. I remember watching, I watched the issues.
Did you watch it?
I did. It was amazing. I don't know how to spell gauntlet, apparently. So here we go.
I don't know how to spell infinity.
Oh, listen to this. Infinity Gauntlet, publication date, July to December of 1991. So this is right after, it ends.
That's
so
what I thought.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, I didn't know if this was going to tie in. It doesn't have the little corner thing at the top tying in with Infinity Gauntlet so-and-so.
Right. That's what I knew. That's what I figured it was after.
Yeah. Of course, the story we get within, we'll talk a little bit about that because it kind of ties in with Thanos and his love for death, which we've talked about on here.
Lord, that man is
obsessed. Okay, so Thanos has got Spider-Man in his hand. You know, Thanos obviously appeared as a giant. If you didn't know who Thanos was and you pulled this issue, you would figure that he's like this gargantuan of a humanoid of some type. But and in reality, ladies and gentlemen, Thanos is a big dude, but he's not big enough to hold Spider-Man in the palm of his hand. So don't go and get a little misconception there. We're looking at the creative team. Let me break this down for you real quick, because I got my notes. I did a little research here. Anne Nesenti is our writer. She's been around for a little while. Wikipedia has her tagged as an American journalist, a writer, a teacher, an editor, and filmmaker, okay? Best known for her work in comics as an editor for Marvel Comics. She edited New Mutants and the Uncanny X-Men. With artist collaborators, she created such Marvel characters as Typhoid Mary, Blackheart, Blackheart, I remember he's a Ghost Rider villain, right?
Yeah. Isn't he the son of Mephisto?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Long Shot.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Mojo.
Well, yeah, hand in hand.
Yep. And Spiral, which I believe is she from the Mojo verse as well?
Yes, because she's got all the arms.
Okay. All right, so there you go. That's a little bit of history for Anne Nesenti there. Now we have Rick Leonardi, who's got to. Rick Leonardi has to pick up. He has to pick up and follow Todd McFarlane, which has got to be a pretty daunting task. I mean, imagine being. Yeah. You know, this is one of the hottest selling books, one of the hottest selling artists, and he leaves, and your job is to find somebody that could pick it up and go. Rick Leonardi is the chosen man to do this. Now, he's worked on Marvel and DC Comics, including Cloak and Dagger, Uncanny X-Men, New Mutants, Spider-Man 2099, Nightwing, Batgirl, Green Lantern versus Aliens, and Superman. So those we know. He's got some chops to him. If somebody's going to hand him Green Lantern, or somebody's going to hand him the Uncanny X-Men, he's got some chops for sure. Now, inking this, I thought this was pretty interesting. Inking this comic book is a guy by the name of Al Williamson. Now, have you ever heard of this guy?
Yeah, I want to say yes.
He's been around. It's a very good possibility you may have. He actually has been around since the he's had his hand in comics since the 50s. So he actually died
2010.
Yeah, 2010.
I know who you're talking about.
Yep. Yeah. So this guy's done. I was looking at some of the early work through the Wikipedia that they were showing, and I mean he
had a long career.
Yeah, he did. I mean, they're like 50s, 60s, 70s. Mm. I mean, dude, and he's going into 1991 here, and he's still inking for the big two. So he's experienced and very, you know, I would assume very knowledgeable about comics in general, and you know, complimenting an artist, I guess, would be the best the best way that I can say it. So Rick Leonardi, Al Williams, come together in this issue. Now, here we go. All right. The title of this issue is called No One Gets Out Alive. And I'm going to do my best here, give a brief synopsis of kind of what happens. And there's some interesting stuff that occurs within these pages. This is not your typical hero, you know, your hero's story arc that you would usually see in Marvel, especially in the early 90s. All right. So it's a regular ho-hum day for Spider-Man, right?
Ho-hum
swinging around. He's got, you know, he's got all these thousand things on his mind. You know, got to get this for Mary Jane. Got to get that for Aunt May. And as he's making his way home, he sees this window washing platform, a couple guys on it. All of a sudden it starts to fall. So Spidey, being the hero that he is, swings into action, rescues the window washers, and then he has to deal with the falling platform that is about to crash down into a mother and her child. Now, unfortunately, he is just a split second too slow, and it crashes into this, what I assume is like this gargantuan air conditioner, because he mentions that it's going to crash into this thing, and it's filled with Freon, and sure enough, it hits. Now, in the fleeting seconds right as it hits, he's able to direct a mother and child who were in the path of this thing to get in front of him. And he bears the brunt of the explosion of the blast and the splash or the torrential tsunami of Freon that apparently hits him as well. Mm. So Spidey's laying on this rooftop after this happens. And folks, Spider-Man dies. He is seen having an out-of-body experience as he's watching his lifeless body lay there. And you're like, oh, come on now. He's just dreaming, right? Yeah, no. He is dead, and he's making his way through, like, on his way to the afterlife. And as he's doing this, he starts to, as you usually see somebody do that have in the movies or in comics where they have an out-of-body near-death experience, they kind of start flashing and looking back at what their life was like. Right. Now, we don't have...
As you do.
Yeah, we don't have the whole origin story or, you know, the death of... what's her name? Why do I blank on one of the most... Gwen Stacy. We don't... we don't see all that.
I tried, and I failed. I just want you to know that.
No, we don't have this big flashback of his whole life. Now, he's just kind of looking at himself and pondering, you know, why didn't I live a life free of worry? That was one of the things that he said. I mean, it was always, I've got to do this. I've got to take care of this person. I've got to do that. And it was constantly gnawing at him, trying to get things accomplished, trying to make sure that so-and-so's taken care of, trying to be the hero. And he regrets that he didn't have a life free of that. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Thanos and Death show up. That's right.
As they do.
Thanos shows up and...
Sorry. I guess that's my new thing now. I don't know.
Just get it in there about three more times. And
I will. No worries about that.
No worries. So Thanos and Death show up, and they're like, look, Thanos is giving him a hard time. Death, she doesn't talk. If anybody's aware of Death in the comics, she's portrayed as one of two things usually. One is the skeletal Death that we would usually see. And then there is what appears to be a beautiful woman sometimes, but in both iterations, yep, there's no talking. She is completely silent. Thanos criticizes Peter Parker for being a hero, as he believes, you know, this is the life that you've lived and what you were trying to do at the time was just a futile effort. You continue to do this. And one of the things that he points out is that you even failed to save the little girl. So Peter Parker looks back. He sees that he saved the mom earlier, but he didn't realize that the little girl that she was with was killed. I assume she's suffering from the same thing that Peter Parker is, with the Freon exposure or something like that. But The little girl is actually sort of there and sort of not, but she's between worlds as she's about ready to make the same journey that Peter Parker is. That angers Peter Parker, and he actually begins to fight Thanos. And I posted this picture earlier on the Source Material Facebook page. It's a great picture. It's one page with like three panels over top of it where Peter Parker is just absolutely incensed with the fact that Thanos is sitting there telling him this.
Mm-hmm.
He just looks down at the ground and Thanos is like, don't even think about it, man. And the next thing you see is this one huge page of Peter Parker decking Thanos in the face. I mean, just punching him square in the jaw. Now, things don't work, obviously, the same here in the physical world as it does in the spiritual world. But regardless, Peter Parker begins to fight Thanos up and down. They're battling back and forth. There's some banter where Thanos says, look, he says, you're a great hero, but I want you to understand that great heroes inspire great villainy. A hero doesn't realize that the things that they do set in motion much more wrong than what a hero can do in order to try and put it right. We all know, I mean, Ronnie, you could probably name 10 Spider-Man villains.
Yep.
One, you know, to the one Spider-Man. And most likely a lot of that is, may have started out separate from Spider-Man, but the question could probably... Doc Ock, I can't even recall some of these guys' origins.
Doc Ock, Lizard, Kraven, Mysterio, all those guys, you know, they're solely Spider-Man
villains.
But he does take on, and then you got your D-listers like the Spot and the Gibbon, and that only Spider-Man would fight.
The Gibbon.
The Gibbon.
I got to look up the Spot. I've got to look up the Spot because recall the Spot at all.
He's not great, but he... You know, you got the Spot, the Gibbon, you know, guys like that, because, I mean, if it comes down to it, freaking, like, somebody like the Punisher is just going to kill him. I mean, he's just, you know, he's like, all right, I've had enough of you. You know, you've got guys that only Spider-Man would fight, you know, but then he takes on guys like the freaking, you know, Kingpin, which is shared between almost everybody in the daggone, you know, Marvel Universe. So
now of those, I mean, can you think of any off the top of your head that were created because Peter Parker's involvement, or would you say that they were created, most of them were created on their own, but continued to be a villain and aspired to greater lengths because Spider-Man was a force against them?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
You know, because Spider-Man, you know, love his heart, doesn't know how to let things lie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's always got which is good. I mean, it's what you want out of a hero. So he's always the first one to jump into the fray. I mean, shoot, he punched Thanos in the face.
Yeah,
you know, and so knowing that he would never have a chance with Thanos, you know, or against Thanos, I should say, not with him. You know, he's not trying to date him, but he's knowing that he'd never have a chance against Thanos.
Yeah,
he bucked up and he said, hey, you know, I'm here, you're here, let's do this, because you're obviously evil and I'm not.
I just brought up
this great sense of...
I was going to say, I just brought up a quick picture of the Spot, by the way, which is freaking hilarious. I've never seen this villain before.
He's not good. He's not good.
Stop punching yourself. Stop punching yourself.
Right. I mean, like, he has what could potentially be a cool, you know, superpower.
Yeah.
He doesn't use it to the best of his ability.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want a real laugh, look up the Gibbon.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's look up the Gibbon while we're at it. The Gibbon. Oh, well, that's actual Gibbons, folks.
Those are Gibbons. Go down to Marvel. The Gibbon Marvel.
Is it on here? How about I just do that real quick? Okay.
There he is.
Oh, my goodness. Monkey Man.
So he's got this great sense of honor and wrong and right or right and wrong. And he has, you know, great power becomes great responsibility. And if, you know, if he doesn't stop him, who's going to, kind of a deal. So, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, large or small, daggone Peter Parker's going to get jumped. He's going to jump into the middle of it. One of the greatest heroes in Marvel history.
Agreed. I mean, if not the absolutely the history. Yeah. The most well-known. And I think I think there could be an argument for that. He's top five for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, you know, Thanos is saying, hey, you inspire great villainy, and what you set in motion is you cause a lot more harm than you do good, and you need to think about that. And he called it the hero's domino, which was an interesting term that I've never heard before.
But, I think that was made up.
Okay, all right. But the thing is that I believe it's a good apt description.
Oh, absolutely.
Of what happens when it comes to specifically superheroes. We see that all the time. It's just every turn, and of course that's part of a good story, but it seems like every turn, and you know, there's some kind of tragedy happening that they're involved in, or that happens to them, or that they're trying to stop. So now throughout the fight, you know, he's continuing to fight Thanos. Death is silently looking on, and she finally stops the fight. Thanos realizes that she's actually siding with Peter Parker here. Now, I don't
this does
know.
Not go well.
Thanos is not like that very, very much at all. But here, this was a part I was kind of confused on, because I didn't know. I would figure that Death is out for one thing. But if I remember correctly, in Infinity Gauntlet, it seems like she did whatever she could to just irritate the crap out of Thanos. But regardless, she stops the fight. She sides with Peter Parker, and she understands that the reason that Peter Parker fights is not just for him. It's so that she, you know, the girl can live. And he even says that I'm fighting for the girl here to try and save her, because he's upset. He wants the girl to live. He doesn't really care about himself. He wants the girl to live. And Death is like, okay, sure. And she sends him and the girl back both to the land of the living, I guess you would say. Peter Parker wakes up, you know, kind of shakes it off, grabs the girl and takes her to the hospital. So that is the end of Spider-Man issue 17. No one gets out of here alive. Okay, there we go. Ryan, what'd you think, man?
I liked it. It was a little bleak at first when he went to the what he called the graveyard of religious artifacts or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where he was.
It was weird. You know, it all falls in line with what Thanos was trying to do.
Yeah.
He's trying to ruin his faith, you know, not so much religious faith or anything like that. But as a hero, you have to have some sort of faith to know that what you're doing is correct and what you're doing is right and that you're helping. Mm-hmm. So you see all these religious icons and everything, icons, you know, yeah. Star of David, you know, Buddhas and religious, you know, just all this stuff that's going around, and it's pretty much, it's dead, you know? So what do you automatically, you know, assume, you know, there's no hope.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's, to me, that's what he was trying to do, was trying to ruin Parker's hope. And then he started in on, like, you know, hey, you cause more harm than you do good, you know. And I was like, oh, I see what you're doing, which, you know, he's a hero. You know, he does a lot of good. That's all he does. So
he tortures himself, maybe unknowingly, but maybe knowingly as well, where, you know, there are times where we're reading a Spider-Man comic and you see him just continue to go out, even though he's just beaten and battered. He even mentions, I think, I just saw the page where he was looking at that. He says, so this is it. This is what yogis walk hot coals for and priests give up fun for, and what hippies take drugs for, what Muslims self-flagellate for. And
what kind of fun you talking about there, buddy?
The thing is that he's looking at all that destruction and hopelessness there, when he himself does a lot of those things. He gives up fun, you know. He doesn't take drugs, but I mean, he definitely he was self-flagellating, which, by the way, is that like striking yourself or something?
You don't want to know what I thought it was at first.
Well, it's not flatulating, I know that.
Yeah, that's something like they fart on themselves. What?
Self-flagellating. Okay, we're going to have to go to the wiki. No pictures, please. Let's go to the wiki.
The action of flogging oneself.
Okay. All right. That's what I was thinking of. You know, actually, what went into my mind, what is that movie with Tom Hanks and... where that guy beats himself up all the time and...
I read the book.
It's based off a book. They have like 9 movies. Recent one was movies. Like Inferno or something. Or
yeah, Angels and Demons. 3 movies. Angels and Demons, Inferno, and The Da Vinci Code.
There we go. The Da Vinci Code. There it is. Now, see, the thing is that you could compare those people to Peter Parker, because a lot of those things, you know, he keeps himself and tortures himself over and over to be the hero. I mean, all these people, they torture themselves for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They do these things that they don't want to do. They do these things that are maybe sometimes more harm than good to themselves for a greater purpose even. So that's some deep stuff, man. You know, and the more I look into it, the more I can see how, you know, I guess how deep the story is when it comes to comparing Peter Parker and the heroics that he does and the fact that something like this that he would have to face in the afterlife. But anyway, so yeah. And Thanos is a representation of what you were talking about, where he just like, mm-hmm. Hey, what are you doing? You know, look at this. So yes. Okay. Anything else you'd like to say about the issue there?
I mean, it's one of those things. It's one of those issues that, oh, goodness, it inspires a lot of different emotions and a lot mm-hmm. of different thoughts about, at first I thought it was like, they're going the religious route, but they really didn't. They didn't explore it at all. Which, you know, I'm glad because there's obviously some, you know, you're going to push some buttons there.
Well, yeah, immediately you're probably like, okay, well, the representation that we're going to get, if that is the case of what they're going to try and do.
There is no God.
No hope. I wouldn't jump that far. I'd just say, like, what we're going to get is a representation of what the writer's interpretation of that may be.
Look at the way they displayed it. You know, the skulls hanging from the tree as it's acted up and everything. It was very bleak. There's nothing but death.
Yeah.
You know, nothing happens except for death. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was like, oh gosh, this is, I don't like this. And, but then I realized, oh, wait a minute, our villain in this is none other than Thanos. Mm-hmm. And this is very much what Thanos would do.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where I was like, okay, so we're going on a soul searching trip here, which I appreciate, you know, and I enjoyed this issue.
Yeah.
So, well, there's apparently am having a hard time with English today, and I apologize. So,
well, as you do.
Thanks. Yeah, there you go. You turned it against me.
Boom, boom, yeah. Boom. Boom, boom, boom. Dab on them haters. My impressions pretty much are the same as yours. One thing I'd love to see is him being put in situations that are not just simple heroics here. This is something that humanizes Peter Parker. That's probably the best way I could describe it. It's a story that does a good job of showing you the internal struggle that happens within mm-hmm. Peter Parker's mind day in and day out, his regrets and his fears. So he is a fairly human superhero here, but they found a good way. Anna Sente did a good job of telling a story that made him seem even more human in my eyes. So, And Thanos, you can't beat Thanos, who was probably one of the hottest villains of the time. I mean, just coming off of, or if in the fact, in the middle of ending Infinity Gauntlet. Good choice there, in my opinion. I could understand why this would be one of their top single issue story arcs out there. So good on you, Dean Compton. Good pick here, man.
Yeah.
It's definitely a winner. I'm glad I had the opportunity to read it. Like I said, I've never seen it. I don't think I've even seen the issue. I've got a good run of Spider-Man I ended up just happening upon a while back. And I know for a fact that this is an issue that I did not see. So I would love to get my hands on this. It's a pretty damn good story. All right, man. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and end it there. I look forward. Maybe we'll do this again sometime. I'll open it up to our listeners and see.
Reminds me of the good old days.
The good old days. Back before Mark Radulich ruined your childhood. Ronnie, let's just go ahead. We'll get into plugs, man. It was a fun read. I'm glad I had the opportunity to read it. So what?
Absolutely.
What do you got to plug, sir?
I have a show called Screaming Boy Podcast where we talk about pop culture, nerd culture things. We're in a kind of weird status right now with the Screaming Boy Podcast because I'm having computer issues. We usually record and upload to iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. Of course, we're right here on the Radulich Broadcast Network. You know, but we've been doing live shows on Friday nights. So I have a feeling, you know, I keep saying soon, but yeah, I that's all I can say is soon we're going to be back recording like normal and a little bit revamped, things like that. We took down the website, but you can still reach us on any social media possible, which is, if you search Facebook, we are Screaming Boy Podcast. If you search Twitter, we are @Screaming Boy PR. If you search Instagram, we are Screaming Boy Podcast. We have a Snapchat, which you know, we do something on, I don't know. I don't even know what, I think it's Screaming Boy PR on Snapchat. I'm not a big Snapchat fan, but anyway, we have a lot of fun, man. So we've done a lot of cool shows here lately, you know, Voltron versus the Power Rangers, some sort of military something or other is actual title of one of the shows. We've done some great stuff, and we're going to continue on because it's just that much fun. Oh, wow. Excuse me. While I die, apparently. But if you go on to iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, you can catch our archived, our recorded shows, which, you know, of course, like I said, we have a blast making. If you go over here on the Brady Litcher Broadcasting Network, you can catch our more recent stuff. So we're having a blast. We're going to continue on. We'll have some stuff coming up. We were going to do a Defender show, but overall, with everything going on with the Mayweather versus McGregor fight last night, it's probably best that we didn't do that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I will just say this because it's a part of pop culture. I was thoroughly impressed with McGregor going 10 rounds when people didn't expect him to last three. Oh. You know, and now I had no hopes of him winning. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see him win just because of the underdog, you know, part.
Oh,
of
yeah.
It. I wanted to see him knock out Mayweather because I think Mayweather is a absolute D-bag of a human being who, you know, doesn't pay his taxes and beats his girlfriends or wife or whatever. And, ooh, yeah, shots fired. What now? but you know, he got paid $100 or $150 million or whatever it was last night. So now you pay your taxes, but,
please do,
please. But, I watched a little bit of it, before I fell asleep. McGregor put up a pretty good fight, you know, for, it was fun. It was a good fight. In the early rounds, he got an left uppercut in there that I know Mayweather felt deep down in his soul. Because you can see it on his face. He's like, oh, hold up. You're not supposed to do that. And it was probably a good thing that we didn't do a show last night because there was a lot of hype around that.
Oh, yeah. It'd been hard to focus.
So we got some stuff coming up. We'll have some new stuff coming up for you. And with that, I will stop rambling. I'm done.
All right. Ronnie Adams of the Screaming Boy Podcast. Once again, thanks for coming on here. Talking comic books with me.
Man, I love talking comic books. Love talking comic books with Jesse Starcher because...
Dude. We've got to have stuff. Me and you've got to have at least 100 episodes together.
I know.
I mean, that's not even counting Screamboy stuff. I'm talking just straight up, right. Straight source material stuff. So,
we are the podcast kings.
That's right.
What Ryan Lynch says.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you can find me at Stiznarky on Twitter. We do have a Twitter for the show. It's at Source Matcast. I had to figure out what is it called again?
The show right here.
You can check us out on at Source Matcast on Twitter. As far as what's upcoming, we have the daunting task of talking 12 issues of 1998's Inhuman miniseries done by Paul Jenkins and drawn by Jay Lee. Great art. Anyway, that's coming up here on Monday. So that we're going to record that, but that will be released on the, what is that? 4th of September. So keep an ear open for that to drop. I think September is going to be the month where we do the trivia. It's happening. We've got to figure out a way of doing trivia and having a trivia championship in that month. So I want to be putting my collective consciousness into trying to figure out how we're going to get that all mapped up. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in the area, if you're in Marietta, please give some thought about checking out two great spectacular events that are going to happen on what I have decided to call the Lit Weekend, and that is September 16th, Remix Pro Throwdown for the Pound. Wizard of Paws, I believe, is the subtitle for that. If you like professional wrestling, if you like any of the great stories that are told in the Squared Circle, check out Remix Pro's Throwdown for the Pound, Wizard of Paws. That's happening Saturday the 16th. I call it a lit weekend, ladies and gentlemen, because on Sunday, September 17th, that's right, we are going to be at the local comic book show, the local comic book con, if you will, River City Comic Con, is going to be happening at the Dyson Botto Center in Marietta, Ohio. If you are interested in checking out some great comic books, there's going to be some panels that are going to be on tap. From what I understand, I am going to be tag teaming with the boys over at Kapow. This just came in. It came in a couple nights ago, as a matter of fact. I'm going to be tag teaming with the boys from Kapow for one panel for sure. And that is going to be, get this, a trivia-related panel somehow.
What the heck?
Somehow, someway.
Why am I am trivia king.
Bronny Adams, if you were there, which I know you may, there's questions. We'll talk about that offline. But if you do happen to be there, bring your trivia knowledge, my friend, because I have a feeling you may even walk away with something fantabulous. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. If you're in the area, the Lit Weekend begins the 16th of September, rolls right into the 17th. That's right, Sunday, River City Comic Con. Be there or be square. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jesse Starcher. That's Ronnie Adams. I'm ready to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for joining. Have